Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, of this mystery, and that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope that we teach on today is Christ in you. This is so different from the thinking of many believers. Many people think that God is so far away. And perhaps if we pray hard enough and long enough that he might come down and visit us every now and then and answer a prayer every now and then. But the message of hope is that God is not far away, that he sent his son Jesus to the earth. He taught here, he healed here, he performed miracles here, he showed us the heart of the Father here and revealed who God was. He died for us, but he didn't stay dead, he rose again. He rose again, and if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you believe that he is the Son of God, he comes to live in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God literally comes and changes you from the inside out. 30-something years ago, I received Christ as my Savior, and he changed me from the inside out. I am a changed person. At times, life definitely hurts. There are minor irritations. There's bumps in the road. At times, there's life-shaking trouble that happens, things that we don't expect, things that we know will eventually happen that we don't think about but we know will happen. You know, this morning, I'm so glad that my brothers and sisters are here. I got my brother Ricky and his wife Linda, my sister Ellen from Tulsa, Ricky and Linda from Leominster, Mass., and my sister Debbie, she's from Charlton, Massachusetts, and they came to celebrate with us. You know, and one of the hardest things that happened to us 2 years ago is my mom died. And she was the foundation of our family. She was friend to all. She was a sacrificial giver to everyone. She would make everyone feel comfortable. She was just lived for her family. She lived for her family. And so it was really, really difficult to go through that troubling situation. Just this week, a friend came up, just drove up on the side of the building and came out and the man was teary-eyed and said, "Can you pray?" And I said, "For what?" He said, "My mom is dying." And he began to cry. And I was like, "Whoa." And at that moment, immediately, I had total empathy and I could understand what he was going through because of what we went through. Because it's difficult to lose a parent. It's especially difficult to lose a parent that was close to you, that you know loved you so much. My mom would come here twice a year to visit us and support us and send Christmas gifts and never missed a birthday or an anniversary or a card. Or I mean, that's just how she was. And so I'm also so happy to have my mom's relatives she grew up with, her cousin and her best friend Mary is here. Mary Toomey is here. She came also and visiting from Massachusetts. So as hard as it is to lose your parent, we know that she's in heaven. We know that she's with our dad who died 20-something years ago from cancer as well. And those who have gone on before us, I believe that their desire for us as they sit in the throne room of heaven and as they worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and they look down upon us, they're saying to us, don't stop living. Don't stop hoping. Don't stop dreaming. Keep going on. Keep building your lives. Keep loving people. Just a few weeks ago, I was in Germany, and my wife, she's German. If you talk to her, you know immediately. She doesn't think she has an accent, but she still does. And I had the privilege of going sailing in Greece with her brother-in-law, which was one of my dreams, and it was a great experience. But before going to Greece, I flew to Germany. The family picks me up, and they bring me to the house. And because I hadn't been there in years, it's a big celebration. Everyone's getting together. And their question is, what do you want to eat? And I'm like, bratwurst and brötchen, you know? I'm like, I want some good. Americans have no clue how to make bratwurst, right? And there's this one bratwurst called the Coburg bratwurst. It's long and skinny. And the bread there, Americans don't know how to make bread either, right? I mean, fresh rolls, fresh German rolls are like amazing. So, of course, I'm eating a bunch of those. And my father-in-law, he had some physical issues. He's 79, he's going to be 80 next year. And so he wanted to take me out to dinner while we were there. But I really wanted to pay. I was going to secretly pay, so I told my brother-in-law, I'm going to pay. My brother-in-law was like, no, you can't pay. He's like, this may be the last time he's able to do that. Because you don't come here that often. He's too old to come there. This may be the last time. And I thought about, yeah. You know, her mom and her dad are still alive. They're getting older. But you're thinking about down the road, these, you know, what eventually is going to happen. Eventually they'll pass. And you're thinking about the trouble that you're going to have to go through and the pain. Because to be honest with you, I love them as much as I love my own parents. That's how close the family is. So I believe that Rita, my mom, is saying from heaven, don't lose hope, no matter what. Our message here at this church is not become a Christian and you'll never suffer. At City Park Church, we don't promise you that there won't be trouble, because there will be. But our hope is that the grave is not the end. The grave is not the end. Our story doesn't end when the casket goes down. The grave is not my final resting place. John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, he says, I have overcome the world. That's an awesome promise. Sure, we're going to have trouble, but when you trust in him, he's overcome the world. He's provided the victory. We've all come to our end from time to time, thinking to ourselves, I cannot do this another day. When concerning this building in the last year, we've been dealing with this building for a year, I thought to myself, what did I get myself into? I cannot hear of another problem, of another overrun, of another contractor not showing up, of something not working, of the city saying something else that we need, and an inspector telling us we got to do this. I mean, for a year, it was just a constant bombarding of issues and troubles. And it can get to be so overwhelming when God would just remind me, this is not your building. This is not your church. I am the builder of the church. I am the head of the church. Trust me. I'm the one who led you here. I'm the one who 13 years ago sent you to Gresham. This is a momentous occasion, and you were born, Bob and Sibylle Trombi, and this church, you were born for a time as this. I was like, okay, God, please keep me reminding that. God knows, he sees. I want to give you a definition of hope this morning. Hope is this: happy anticipation of something good happening. I believe that when you believe in Christ, that every day you should wake up happy, and every day you should anticipate something good's going to happen. Every day. Every day. Every day wake up and say, thank you, God, I'm trusting you, and something good's going to happen today. When we have that outlook and we expect something good, I don't know about you, but I would rather believe for a whole lot and get a little of it than believe for a little bit and just get a little of it. Because it doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you a lot. But it does cost a lot when you're hopeless. Hope is a favorable, constant expectation. Now, the enemy wants you to remain hopeless. You'll never be well. You'll never have money. You'll never have peace. You'll never restore that broken relationship. But hope refuses to give up. When God returns to this earth, he's going to find Pastor Bob Trombley hoping and pressing on. What is the point, anyway, of having critical negative thinking and a critical negative attitude about anything? There's really no point. It does nothing good for us. Things can change. Anything can change except God himself. There was this man, his name was Charles Darrow. And Charles was a young guy, he was 20 years old, and he set a goal in his life. He grew up in the 20s. His goal was this, and he would talk to his wife and tell his wife, Esther, I will be a millionaire. That's my goal. Now, in the 20s, $1 million was a lot of money. It's a lot of money today, right? But I can remember growing up in the 80s, if you had $1 million, you were set for life. You know, I'm going to be a millionaire. And whenever you would talk about $1 million, you'd be like, whoa, $1 million. If I could just have $1 million, I would never have to work again. I'd be set for life. Now you could possibly not work again with $1 million if you invested it properly. But Charles had this dream. It was huge. It was awesome. And he would kept telling his wife about this. And his wife believed him. And he promised his wife that. But you know what happened back then? The depression hit. Financial ruin for the country. And Charles and Esther, they lost their jobs. They lost their life savings. And he was depressed and he was hopeless. Even to the point he got so low and so depressed and so hopeless, to the point where he suggested to his wife, leave me because I cannot even supply food for the table anymore. Yet she remained hopeful. Esther was not about to leave. She said every day, Charles, we have got to do something towards our dream. So they would sit down every night and they would talk about being millionaires. They didn't have food for their table. They would talk about prospering. They kept hope alive. Every night they purposed sitting together, talking about it. And then Esther was a creative one. She came up with an idea. Let's do this. She made play money. And she created all this play money. And they would sit down and they would have this money, this play money cut up on the table, in the coffee table in the living room, and they would play with this money, and they would make believe they would like buy houses with it and land with it. And then eventually it turned into a game with a board and dice, buying property and houses and hotels called Monopoly. You guessed it. It was the beginning of a game that probably every single household here has in your house. You've got a Monopoly game. And so Charles believed that he had something. So he approached a Massachusetts firm called Parker Brothers. Parker Brothers looked at the game. And after they played the game, they gave this report. They found it slow, dull, and the rules hopelessly complex. Charles's dream is dashed. This could be the way that he could make his fortune, the way he could get out of the situation that he's in. And so he came up with an idea. He approached Warner Brothers, their game store, and he said to them, I'm going to take out a loan for 5,000 games. If I do that and pay for the games, would you stock them in your stores? That's what he did. They stocked them in the stores. And the rest of the story is the game took off. They sold out. Parker Brothers took note of this. Parker Brothers took another look at the game, and after they had looked at the game and played the game again, their report to Charles was this. This game is imaginative, fast-paced, and surprisingly easy to master. It was copyrighted in 1935, and Charles and Esther sold the Monopoly game to Parker Brothers for $1 million. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12 says this, "Return to the stronghold," in the Amplified version, "return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will restore double your former prosperity to you. This morning I declare that I am a prisoner of hope." I'm a prisoner of hope. I am locked up in a prison of hope. I have made up my mind that I am bound to believe. In our culture, we can be so negative. It's really not our circumstances that steal our joy, it's our attitude. How do you expect me to be happy when all this is going on? My suggestion this morning is get it off your mind. Stop talking about it so much. Stop talking about your circumstances everywhere you go. Proverbs 13:12 says this, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." A lot of depression that happens is from people's own thinking. We talk and we talk and we talk and we talk about it. We think and we think and we think and we think about it. You know, the best way to get rid of that depression, the best way to get out of your situation is go out and help somebody. Go out and do something bigger than yourself. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Many times in our teaching and in our churches, we talk about faith being the star and hope being the supporting actor. But this morning, I want to let you know that hope is the star and faith is the supporting actor. Because without hope, it's impossible to have faith. Without a dream, there's no need to have faith. Faith is the supporting actor. And I want to declare that every single person sitting in this room, that God created you for something special. God created you for something significant. Your life matters. Your marriage matters. Your business matters. Your thoughts matter. God created you to do something big. I declare that City Park Church is a place of hope. City Park Church is where dreams are born. God-given dreams. As you sit here, God can talk to you. Open up your mind, open up your thoughts, and allow God to encourage you this morning. I declare that City Park Church is where dreams are worked on and where dreams are accomplished. And where there's a faith project, there's a group of people praying and planning and believing. I believe that God is changing the atmosphere of Gresham with this message of hope. As we've been praying as a staff and as a team, that God would increase the spiritual hunger of East Multnomah County. That God would increase our spiritual hunger to desire him and to want him. How do we change the culture of the city? We change the hearts of people through the message of hope, through the Son of God changing us and causing us to become new creatures in Christ, where all old things pass away and new things come. New vision, new hope, new dreams, new realities, new outlook. You may say, "Pastor Bob, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's going on in my family. You don't know what's going on in my finances," and I may not know all the details, but he does. And there's hope, and there's an answer, and there's a future, and there's growing, and there's dreams. There's something that God wants to do in your life. And I believe it can start right here in this house and in this place. We're here to stir up your spiritual hunger. People come to City Park Church to feed their faith because of their hope. I got this dream and I got this hope and I'm gonna go listen to that crazy pastor that just believes God for things, believes God for stuff to happen, believes God for the impossible, because he is the God of the impossible, amen? All the things that you thought you couldn't do, you can do, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And when he lives in you, he is always with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Amen? He is there encouraging you and helping you on the inside, directing you and guiding you to success. How many know success is a Bible word? It's in the Bible. God wants you to be successful. He is for you and not against you. And he will never leave you or forsake you. I don't know about you, but that's the God that I serve, and that's the God of this church. Amen? He is a good God. He is a loving God. He is a caring God. And he wants to see you win. Because when you win, he wins. If you have no hope or no God dreams or no future thoughts or no heaven thinking in this church, we believe God can show you things to come. That God has created you for a purpose. If you look at John chapter 16, let's look at what Jesus said. I'll read from the King James Version. It says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." And this next line says this, "And he will show you things to come." You don't need to go to the fortune teller at the Saturday market. You just need to come to City Park Church or to East Hill Church or the Gresham Baptist Church, Pastor Shane, right down the road. We're all friends together. We all pray together. We all support one another. The pastors of this city prayed for this building and for this church. Prayed over us. And right now, they're all preaching messages of hope. Because we all want to see the same thing happen. The spiritual hunger of Gresham in East Multnomah County to increase and increase and increase. To the point where God is blessing this city so much. And the presence and the love of God is flowing so much that when people just drive through here to go skiing, they'll stop and come to church. Hallelujah. In the wintertime, I drive to church and all the skiers are going that way, and I love skiing. But I love Jesus more. Can you say amen? I can go skiing on Monday. But he wants to show you things to come. He wants to show you a future. This is what God has promised us. You don't need to live the boring life day to day not knowing what's going to happen. God will show you bits and pieces of what tomorrow is going to be like. He'll show you bits and pieces. He doesn't show you a whole picture, but he'll show you bits and pieces of what next year could be like. When we walked into this building, and this building was covered with that the blue carpet and the blue ugly walls, and we climbed up into the attic up here above these classrooms. And before we brought the team in to show them this could be the building, we had to envision them. Because some people can see it and some people can't. Some people have that kind of construction mind of what could be possible and others don't. And so when we crawled up into that attic space, I could see that brick. I was like, okay, that looks great. And then as I looked down towards this way, I saw that first old growth beam. And I brought other guys up there. I said, you see those beams? I said, if we took all of this lath and plaster off and took that false ceiling off, we can make this place look really amazing. The architects came in yesterday and they were here at the ribbon cutting ceremony. They're like, can we come back and take pictures for our website? And that vision came to pass. Why? Because God showed us things to come. He showed us the potential of what this place could be like. He showed us the possibilities. And then as a pastor, My job for years, I've been in ministry for 25 years. My job for years would go to other churches and I would help them with their children's ministries. And I would go through their buildings and I would say, this classroom needs to be for this age and that can be a resource room. And I would help them to map out their buildings to get a better flow. And every building, every church I would ever go into, that's the way I think. I'm like that's working and that's not working. And I would do a lot of consulting work in other churches. So the moment I walked into this place, I immediately knew that the sanctuary, this room would be up here. You could just tell the ceiling was higher, the way it was laid out. And then we had to plan all the classrooms and all the things that we planned downstairs. And downstairs is a big banquet hall. You're welcome to go in and look at that afterwards with a commercial kitchen. This is not only a great place to have church, it's a great place to get married in. Anybody want to have their first wedding here? Anybody want to get married in this building? The first wedding in the building, yes. Sorry. Or you could, rededicate. But God allowed us to see. Now, when God gives you a vision, he only gives you a small part. Why? Because he wants you to continue to trust him throughout the process. He doesn't show you everything. If he showed you everything, you wouldn't need him. That's what faith is like. Following God is an adventure. Following God is exciting. Being a Christian is the most exciting thing you will ever decide to do in your life. For over 3 decades, I've been on an adventure with God. Sure, there's tough times. Sure, it's hard work. But when the hard work pays off and you get a reward, it's amazing. Today is a reward for us. Today is a reward for Gresham. That God showed us the potential and the possibility of this old building being restored to something new and being used for the glory of God. He will show you things to come. You got to fight for it. There's going to be battles. There's going to be pushing and pulling and praying and progressing. But I don't know about you. I didn't come here to show off my new clothes and my new shirt this morning. I came here because I needed to boost my hope. Can you say amen? Hope is an expected end. Hope has nothing to do with the process, but it has everything to do with the destination. Hope is broad. What do you see for your life? Maybe you see a business that you want to start, and you don't have all the details, but you know inside you that God has given you something to make money and to get your family out of the situation that it's in. When you come to this church, we will encourage you to go for it, to put your hand to it, to stick with it. Through Christ and through increasing our faith, perseverance comes. Steadfastness comes. Sticking to things and finishing things. It's one of the things I try to teach my kids all the time. I said, if you start something, you gotta finish it. No matter what. You start something, you finish it, because the Trombies are finishers. Amen? We are finishers. The people of City Park Church, we are finishers. All across this city, people are starting things. Whether businesses or ministries, whatever it is, people are starting things, and we are changing this culture every day. And God is doing something great. Hallelujah. Are you out there this morning? The last scripture is the first scripture in Colossians 1:27. I'd like to read it again. It says this: to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Psalm 33:22 says this: may your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Hope is found at City Park Church. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Let's all bow our heads and let's pray.